I'd like you to turn with me tonight to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. We're not going to look at the whole psalm, but particularly we're going to turn our attention to verse 2. I shall just read the first two verses. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock. It's really those words that I want to think about tonight. How do we deal with the challenges of life? Life throws us many challenges, we say. What do we do? How do we respond? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what's your strategy? What's your method? How do you respond to such things? Do they knock you? Do they bring you to the ground? Well, David says here, when my heart is overwhelmed, he's drowning. It's as though he's been taken down in a vortex of trouble, like a boat that's filling with water in a storm. Well, we don't know for certain the particular circumstances that David was in. It's thought that it was either some military campaign that wasn't going particularly well, or more likely, as we read in 2 Samuel chapter 15, it was when Absalom, his own dear son, imagine it, Absalom, his own dear son, sought to betray him. You read together. He was conspiring, a conspiracy to bring down his father. He sought to curry favor with the people. He sought to answer all their difficult questions. He went to the gate. He drew the people. He got their favor. He got them on his side against his own father. If this is true, and this is the occasion, and it probably is, how must David have felt? Betrayed, let down. Imagine one of your own children seeking to undermine you. No wonder if this was the occasion, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed. It doesn't really matter much what the particular history and the event was, because no doubt this was recorded for our learning. This is one of the many experiences that David went through in the Psalms that he penned. And it's recorded for us because we go through so many experiences, don't we? I do. You do. There are people here tonight. Some of the things you've been through in your life, I know, have overwhelmed. They would overwhelm almost anybody. You've been through such things. So we're going to come to verse 2. But I want to look at just a few of the features of this psalm. We're not going to go verse by verse. There's too much here. The first feature, it starts, as often the psalms do, that David writes, it starts with tears. Hear my cry. This is a psalm of lament. Psalm of tears. David is pouring out his heart. Lord, Lord, hear me. Don't you see my situation? Don't you feel what I'm feeling? He starts with tears and with a plaintive cry. But it's a psalm, as often happens, that ends with praise. It ends with praise and a pledge. Verse 8, so will I sing praise. Because of everything I've said, because of my prayer, because I've reassured myself, so will I praise unto thy name. I'll sing. Just for a minute? No, forever. He's making a pledge. I will sing forever, daily. I'll come before the Lord. I'll come into his presence. I'll have my daily devotions. I'll go to the temple. I'll go and worship God, and I'll make my vows. He starts in tears. He goes to prayer. He ends in praise and a pledge. Well, we could say he goes from a problem. It's a real problem. Let's not try and minimize the problem, whatever it was. We don't minimize problems in life. They're real. I know that some of you at this time, you have real challenges. We don't minimize those. But we go from problem swiftly to prayer and then swiftly to praise. That's David's practice, and it should be ours. So that's one of the features that we see here. Look again in the beginning verses. He starts with me, I, and me. Hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry. You get the point. That's what he says in the first five verses. But look down in verse 5. He switches. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. And then he says, to those that fear thy name, thou wilt prolong the king's life. He's speaking in the third person. And his years, it's no longer me, I. He's speaking about his role as a king, as a Christian, as one who's been appointed to serve. And then he finishes, so will I sing praise unto thy name. And that's what we should do. We move away from our circumstances. They might be so real. You come to terms, face to face with sudden death, sudden illness, a lifelong illness. It might be short, it might be lifelong, but it's incurable. It's real. It's me, it's my, it's I. But quite quickly we think, how should I respond as a believer? I've been appointed to serve. I've been appointed to witness, to live the Christian life. People are looking. What will my neighbors say? How will I respond to my circumstances? Oh, I think as the king. That's what David says. I think after I've prayed about my witness and my testimony, oh yes, I'll get back to worship. I'll make my vows. I'll perform them forever if the Lord helps me. So first, tears, then praise. Secondly, me and I and my. And then he turns to the third person. But there's another feature here that's quite striking when you look beneath the surface. He starts with the present. Verse 1, hear my prayer, hear my cry. He's speaking about a problem now. He says, my heart is overwhelmed. Look at these circumstances I'm in, says David. If it was Absalom, look, I've had to leave my throne. I've had to leave Jerusalem, Zion. I can't worship. I'm not near the ark, the presence of God. I'm exiled. I'm far away. That's what's happening now. And then he goes to the past tense. Look at verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter, a strong tower. He looks back. This is one of the peculiar strategies of the people of God. You find yourself in a problem. You think about the now. Look at my issue. Look at my challenge. It's now. I've got a doctor's appointment. I've got a key meeting at work. I've got a new job to start now. Look back. Verse 3. Thou hast been a shelter for me. I look to the past. David does. He's won all those victories. He's defeated enemies in the past. He's answered prayers in the past. He's kept me. He's protected me. He's been a strong tower. Oh, how comforting that is. I go from the present, briefly, to the past. He mentions it again in verse 5. Thou hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage, the inheritance. You gave it to me when I first trusted. Those that trust and feared in thy name. Verse 6. But if you look, don't need to do it now. Verse 2, verse 4, 6, 7, 8. It's all about the future. He goes from the past, from the present to the past, and then his focus is moving forward. That's what we do as the people of God. We don't spend too long in the present. We do spend a little time in the past to get comfort. God has helped me. God has blessed me. I remember that particular difficulty. Oh, the Lord saw me through, and he'll do so again now. So just a few insights into the psalm. Well, a number of things that we can note. Initially, David feels a deep sense of isolation. Oh, hear my cry. It's very personal. He starts to become conscious. What am I going to do? Where do I turn? Oh, the only help for me is the Lord. I need divine help. There's no point looking to the other kings. There's no point looking to myself. I need divine help. Hear my cry. As soon as he feels his situation, his need, his isolation, he comes to God. And he has a yearning. Verse 2, he starts to cry from his position. He wants to be back in Jerusalem. He has a desire for the spiritual privileges that he's lost to be restored. He knows that God is the only one that can help him, and he acknowledges that. And then he's assured, oh, my future is all in the Lord's hands. And then he's resolute. He cries out to God, God will help me, and I will worship him forever. So tonight, let me try and suggest some of the situations we might be in. And I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, trust me. Some have fear and anxiety at this time, I know. Some of our elderly, particularly, you're anxious. Some feel loneliness. You've not had a companion through lockdown. Some now live alone because you've been widowed. Some walk through life because you've never had a life's partner. Loneliness. This is particularly in mind in David's heart. Some feel low and despondent. That's normal. It's natural. Let's not pretend it's not. We all feel like that from time to time. Trials, difficulties. I don't know what yours are particularly. Not being able to pay the bills, maybe, at certain times in life. Not being able to pay the bills emotionally. You feel drained. There's nothing left in the bank account. You can't give any more to your children or parents. You feel drained. Times of having to face our own sin. Things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. Poor choices that we've taken and we're living with the consequences. Things that we should have dealt with a long time ago and buried, but we've let them linger. We've become resentful and bitter. These are real. These are the sort of things which cause our heart to be overwhelmed. Perhaps we built a reputation for ourselves. We've not been friendly. We've been curt. We've used two words when we could have used kinder language. Oh, I'm a Bedford person. We speak directly here. No, we're the people of God. We speak in gracious words. We should never be heard to be curt. So we built a reputation for being short, unkind. Oh, that person, they're so blunt. We're having to deal with the consequences. Maybe we have to deal with the sin of others in our lives. Oh, all of us do that. Mostly it's our own sin that we should focus on. But sometimes we have to deal with those that don't show natural kindness and affection to us. I'm sure this is pictured. My heart is overwhelmed. Do you feel like that? Sometimes I do. I can't profess that all of these emotions and experiences are true of my life, but some. What about when somebody's hostile? It seems they want to damage your life, your position. That's definitely in mind in David's case, if 2 Samuel 15 was what's being referred to. His own son, a family member, wants to damage you, cut you down, hurt you, wound you. It's been going on for some years, 40 years in David's case. But he was there trying to undermine. How painful. Perhaps we've got some health condition. Some of you have. And that's something you're going to live with for life. You know there's no cure. And it's the Lord's reason and purpose that we should cleave to him. Trying circumstances. Maybe there's somebody, you've got an unconverted son or daughter. They cause you much heartache. You've brought them before the Lord. You've prayed for them day after day. They've not yet come to the Lord. They're going down a different path in life. How painful. You wish it was not so. But you know that that's the Lord's plan for the time being. When my heart is overwhelmed, says David. He's in that vortex of trouble. We can't exaggerate how he felt overwhelmed. The word literally means enveloped by self. Our feelings. We're all in on ourselves, as we sometimes say. Well, the Lord allows these things. We think we're going to go under, but we're not. We're the people of God. None of his people will ever go under. God allows these experiences, and he limits our capacities to deal with them ourselves, to humble us and to make us more dependent. Sometimes he allows us to struggle. One pathway after another seems to close. All the schemes that we can imagine, they fail. He blocks every escape route. And his purpose is to teach us to trust him. Well, that's the position that David finds himself in and that we find ourselves in, our state and our condition. But look what David does. Secondly, the prayer goes up. It's in a different order in the psalm. It's in verse 1. Hear my cry. He doesn't proceed to give us the circumstances. That's given in code in verse 2. He's being overwhelmed. But here's the prayer. Hear my cry. It's a plaintive cry. He feels it. He means it. Oh God. Do you pray like that? Do you pray in a casual way when you feel overwhelmed? Hear my cry. Oh God, attend. Listen. Pay attention. Of course, God doesn't need to pay attention. We're the ones that need to plead. Oh God, attend unto my prayer. Of course he will. And the cry goes up. He speaks somewhat dramatically, and he says, I feel it's as though I'm in the other end of the earth. He's not. He's probably not in Jerusalem. He's exiled. He's like a refugee. He's had to go from Jerusalem, from the end of the earth. Lord, this is how I feel. I feel so far from the presence of God. I feel as though I cannot be heard. I can't worship. I'm not in Jerusalem. I'm not near the ark. And his cry goes up. Oh, what do you do? Do you go to pieces? We shouldn't go to pieces. We should go to prayer. Always. Something happens. Oh, I feel my feelings. I listen to my feelings. No, I move on quickly to prayer. I quickly remember what God has done for me in the past. And then I go to prayer. No matter how far we've strayed, or how far we feel away from God, or how low you've fallen, you are as near to prayer as you are to each other tonight, even nearer. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Psalm 145, verse 17 and 18 speaks of that. We should not go to pieces. We should go to prayer. Well, what does he do now? He says, lead me to the rock. You know, the Lord doesn't just hear us. He doesn't just answer us. He doesn't just promise to help us when we can't get to the rock. He offers to lead us to the rock. Isn't that wonderful? I can't feel. I can't summon up the energy and the focus to pray. And so I can pray even to God that he will lead me to the place of help. He'll lead me to himself so that I can pray. Maybe it's just a short prayer. Lord, I feel so numb. I feel so overwhelmed, so hurt, so damaged, so wounded, so ill, so sick. Lead me. Lead me to the rock. It's as though we're in darkness. The mist has come down. I've lost my senses. I can't see the way. Well, you can even pray for that. Lord, lead me, guide me, direct me to the place of prayer, the place of God's word, the comfort of other believers, somebody that can help me, pray with me if I can't pray because I'm so numb. And the Lord will hear that prayer, and he will lead us, and he'll lead us to the place where we can come. Well, it's a place when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. It's a place. The place is pictured as a rock, probably a big cliff. A cliff that I can't climb up on my own, even if you're a good rock climber. It's the inaccessible pinnacle, one of the mountains on the Isle of Skye. You really can't climb it without ropes. It's not one that with my effort and with my prayers that I can get up. It's inaccessible to me. So I need to pray. Lord, help me to that place. It's so high, with my own effort I can't get to it. With my own capacities, it's beyond me. It's so high, and I'm so low. And I can't climb. Well, this rock is a place, but it's also a person. Of course it is. When the Bible speaks of the rock, again and again, almost, not quite, but almost every reference to a rock in God's word is a reference to the deity, a reference to the Trinity especially. Let me just show you a few verses before we come to conclusion. Deuteronomy And chapter 32, there's some wonderful verses here. I'm sure David would have been referring as he wrote this psalm. Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you have your Bibles with you. If not, don't worry. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. He's speaking of a person, speaking of the Lord. For all his ways are judgment. They're just, they're right. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Look down to verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock. They had a different deity. They had an idol. But he's not like our rock, capital R. Even our enemies themselves being judges. Then look down at verse 37. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, small R, in whom they trusted? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 32. For who is God save the Lord? Who's God except he's the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? Wonderful words. Go back to Psalms. Look at the following psalm and the one that we're considering tonight. There's a number of mentions in Psalm 62. Look at verse 5. My soul, Psalm 62, verse 5. Wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. I'm not going to turn to it, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 speaks about the Lord Jesus as a rock of offense. It's throughout the whole of the Word of God. What can we say about this rock? David says, my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock. Well, it's a symbol for strength. That's what we need, isn't it? When we're overwhelmed, we feel so weak. We feel faint. We feel feeble. That's another translation of the word overwhelmed in the Hebrew. This is a picture of strength, security, and durability. He refers to the rock as a place of shelter. Down in verse 5, thou hast been the heritage. Verse 4, a tabernacle. Verse 4, the covert, the place that I can be covered by. And verse 3, the shelter and the strong tower. It's a place of shelter. Unbelievers know nothing. They know nothing of the Lord as a rock. Most of them, they do go to pieces. Isn't it true that quite often when we go through the waters and we go through trials, people say, they seem to be so strong. They seem to have a hidden reservoir. They seem to have a source of strength, and I know nothing about it. Of course they don't, because we have a shelter. We have a defense. We have a permanent place. You go and hide in a pavilion. The roof might leak. I was looking today, very briefly, the US Open. There's such a storm in New York. The streets are flooded. The number one court, I think that's right, has a cover over it. And the rain was getting in. Rain stop play, but our shelter never fails. Our shelter, the rain never gets in, the wind never gets in. Oh, it's a place that's permanent, it's dry. It lasts the test. It tests itself in the worst circumstances, and it's durable. There's something else here. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When I come through these trials, I feel low. I feel right down in the valley. I've got nowhere else to look. I can't go down any further. So I set my eyes. This is an allusion, I'm sure, for David to Jerusalem, set there on a rock. As the pilgrims came, they looked to Jerusalem, its walls, its rock. It was so strong for them. It was a fortified city. And so for us, we look to a place which is high. It's higher than we are. We can't get there on our own. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Literally, it's higher than me, says the Hebrew. We get there. We get to that high place in the shelter. Suddenly we look down. We see all those problems. We see them with a different perspective. They seem a lot smaller now. We get them in proportion. They seem gigantic. Now we see them as just little passing problems in life. A little storm that blew up in the family in the afternoon. It's gone in the evening. We've prayed together as a family and we've come together and it's been dealt with and relationships have been reconciled swiftly because we've seen to it. Oh, it's a place as well. What David has in mind is a rock that provides no comfort, no security in the eyes of the Jews of olden times unless we cleave to it. It's not a rock to stand on. It is, but I don't think that's what's really in mind. It's a rock that's higher than I am. And in the minds of the Jews, and I could refer to scriptures that show this, we must put our arms around it. And we must hide within it, in the shelter of the rock. And that's what our hymn writer had in mind. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The rock, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place, it's a person, it's a protection, and it's the presence of God. When we're in that presence of God, and when we can offer our praise, then we're no longer overwhelmed. We've moved from problem to prayer, to praise, and to a pledge to our God that as far as it lies within us, we will come to the place again and again and we'll offer our praise to God, thanking him for his help in times past and trusting him for the future because he will not let us down, because he is the rock that's higher than I am. How do you deal with your trials? How do I deal with the trials of life, in home life, in church life, in community life? How do we deal with these things? Do we go to the rock? Do we go to the one who is higher than we are? And do we cleave to that rock? The Lord will be that rock to you, my friends. He will be our rock. He'll be our fortress. As we go through this autumn season, if we're to know trials, which I'm sure some will, new trials, fresh trials, you say this prayer, When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. May the Lord bless us this evening.